and welcome to the Popmatic Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Crystal. We're librarians at Nashville Public Library.
This podcast is where you can find reviews and recommendations of the best books, movies, and music available for checkout from the Popular Materials Department of the Nashville Public Library.
You can also learn about library programs such as concerts, film screenings, book clubs, author talks, and book signings.
It's December. My present to myself is to review one of my favorite books that was just released for the first time ever in an audio format, Naked Lunch by William S. Burroughs. Bill is going to review a classic film, definitely a classic for me, but I'm not going to say what it is. I'll give you a hint. Furbies. We finished things off with a discussion of our favorite holiday music that will make you feel warm and fuzzy, even without the eggnog.
I can't believe you read that.
2009 marks the 50th anniversary of the publication of William S. Burroughs' novel Naked Lunch. I've said that Naked Lunch is the Rosetta Stone work by my favorite author for so long now, it's hard for me to know if either proposition is true anymore. The release of the first ever audio edition of his most famous, if not his finest, artistic artifact seemed the perfect opportunity for revisitation. William Lee is a junkie running west from the law. His consciousness slowly seegs itself into a nightmare world called the Interzone. The chapters are in random order, so the reader is constantly navigating shades of gray between reality, so-called, and the interzone. Burroughs calls upon his lifelong struggles with heroin addiction to illustrate how all of us are addicted and controlled by something. Most importantly, the controllers are addicted to controlling, and the controlled are addicted to being controlled. I encountered this work as a teenager, and after reading it, any possibility of abusing opiate drugs went out the window. Since then, I can only grimace at the thinly veiled glamorization of heroin addiction that blossoms in the media every few years. The majority of scenarios Burroughs envisions are too horrific or obscene for me to mention here, much like when Mayor Dean came to the library to read John Irving. It was hard for me to find a passage politically correct enough for the venue. The book is not so much pornographic as it is grotesque. It's with good reason that Burroughs' work is often compared with that of painter Hieronymus Bosch. It's not for kids. It's also terribly funny. You'll be laughing your way past the graveyard and the needle-filled garbage dump. Imagine Lewis Black in hell. As most critics have argued, Naked Lunch is a satire, and the interzone actually represents a place far more real than any of us would like to admit. It's the place where all of our fears and most cynical assumptions about medicine, government, and law are revealed to be painfully true. Praise be to Blackstone Audio for hiring Mark Bramhall, a reader who understands the tone of the work and brings enough verve to enlighten material that can be very difficult. In a lot of ways, Naked Lunch is a work that is meant to be read aloud. The most psychotic chapters are prose poem rants that need a certain oomph in the delivery. Bramhall knows when to turn it on and off. Blackstone did right by releasing the so-called restored text, which puts the novel first and saves for last all the various introductions and appendices that have appeared over the years. For interested parties, this supplemental material will teach you everything you ever wanted to know about the writing and publication of this singular work. My final verdict? Naked Lunch remains the bug bomb of 20th century America. If your house has yet to be fumigated, it's time to call the exterminator.
I can't believe you watched that.
So, Bill, what's the secret movie?
This Christmas season, you'll get a chance to see the usual Christmas movies. You know, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, the TNT Network 24-hour marathon showing of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, or the USA Network 24-hour marathon showing of Christmas Story, or Elf. Now, nothing wrong with these movies, but let's try something a little different to put you in the Christmas mood. I want to recommend Joe Dante's 1984 horror comedy, Gremlins. Yes, you heard me right, Gremlins. Gremlins takes place around the Christmas holidays, and the director of the film, Joe Dante, said it best. Gremlins is It's a Wonderful Life meets the Birds. The premise is simple. Hopeless inventor Randall Petzler, played by the late, great Hoyt Axton, while on a trip in the Orient, buys a mugwai. A cute, cuddly creature he brings home to his son Billy, played by Zach Galligan. There are three rules to owning a Mogwa. Don't let him near bright light. Don't allow water to touch the Mogwa. And never let it eat after midnight. Well, faster than you can say Jack Frost, all three rules are broken and chaos ensues. The movie offers many delights. Joe Dante is a huge fan of classic films, especially science fiction and horror films, and he likes to cast actors from science fiction and horror films past. Also, the production design by James Spencer is a joy to watch. He takes the fictional community of Kingston Falls and creates a living Norman Rockwell painting, and then turns it into a cartoon by Charles Adams. Also, the score by Jerry Goldsmith is fantastic. So, if you're looking for something different this Christmas season, put a log on the fire, put some bourbon in that eggnog, and let's create a new Yuletide favorite, Gremlins.
Bill, didn't you interview Joe Dante?
Yes, I did.
So it's one of our podcasts. If you go to our podcast page, you could...
Yes, you can listen to an interview, a very nice interview, Joe Dante.
Check it out.
How about Airplane?
Well, Christmas season got you down. Can't find the Cabbage Patch Huggable Elmo that your child wants? Well, come on down to the Nashville Public Library at 615 Church Street in the main auditorium on Saturday, December 19th, 2009 at 2 p.m. and watch the zany comedy Airplane. It's free and open to the public. And we have a special introduction from the producer of the movie, John Davison. So take a break from the holidays and watch Airplane. And don't call me Shirley.
I can't believe you listened to that.
Amanda's going to tell us if she believes in Santa Claus.
Thanks, Brian. I do believe in Santa Claus, because he brings me presents every year. Like this one. When I was going through freshman orientation at IU, this really cute group of guys came by and knocked on my dorm room door and invited me and my roommate to the concert they were giving in our lounge. Apparently they were some sort of a cappella group or something. We decided to go because, you know, well, they were cute. Turns out they were also talented, like Carnegie Hall talented. Their name, Straight No Chaser. And thus began my not-so-storied love affair with SNC. So you can imagine how excited I was when I found out that they'd released a Christmas CD on Atlantic Records called Holiday Spirits. I want to share with you their live version of The 12 Days of Christmas, which I actually saw them perform back home again in Indiana. I need to preface this snippet, though, by telling you that SNC loves themselves some Toto. Okay, hit it, fellas.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me... On the 12th day my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming like Olympus upon the Serengeti. 11 pipers piping 10 lords leaping.
So, Brian, is that your new favorite Christmas carol or what?
Yes. I love that song. I have a dark heart, and I don't believe in Santa Claus, but I do believe in the Yeti. Like many other Yeti believers, the music I associate with the holidays is Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony. When I was in high school, I used to wake up to the Second Symphony during the winter months. In my darkened bedroom, the chords of the first movement tugged me from under the covers, and now I forever associate them with winter. Recordings usually abbreviate the first movement, but the version owned by the library featuring Edward Downes and the BBC Philharmonic contains the first movement in its entirety. It's a tidal wave of romanticism, and yes, I made my parents listen to this on Christmas morning. So, Crystal, what do you have?
First, I want to give a shout out to WRVU's Friday morning radio show, Nashville Jumps, for turning me onto this CD. Thanks, Pete. You don't have to be a hipster like me to love this awesome holiday collection called Hipster's Holiday, Vocal Jazz and R&B Classics. All the greats are represented here, including Eartha Kitt and Louis Armstrong, to name a few. I'd love to play the whole album for you, but here's a clip of my favorite track.
Wanna see Santa do the mambo, the mambo, see Santa do the mambo, the mambo, see Santa do the mambo, mambo, Santa Claus. We wanna see Santa do the mambo, see Santa do the mambo, see Santa do the mambo, mambo, Santa Claus. You don't have to bring.
That was We Wanna See Santa Do the Mambo by Big John Greer. Brian led us in a dance around the room, and we hope you were bopping as well.
Yeti style.
So, if our holiday music roundtable hasn't put you in the spirit, we have three special concerts coming up here at Maine. On Saturday, December 5th at noon, local musicians Audrey Malone and Michael Evans perform songs from their new CD called A Holiday to Remember. Later that afternoon at 2 p.m., the a cappella group Nashville Bells are back to perform more holiday favorites. Then, on Friday, December 18th at noon, we are pleased to present our fellow podcaster Amanda.
Woohoo!
She'll be performing arrangements of holiday tunes on the library's grand piano.
I know it's hard to believe, but I've made a mistake. I reviewed Vangelis' score for Blade Runner, and the version of the Blade Runner score, which the library owns right now, is actually the orchestrated version. But the library is buying Vangelis' synthesizer score from Blade Runner. When the movie first came out, the only version of the score you could get for a long time was the orchestral version. And then when Blade Runner's synthesizer score came out, it was kind of a big deal because everyone always wanted that music and it was never released. So, but those CDs are on order, so you can put your holds on them now. But all the tracks I did talk about in that review on the Vangelis compilation themes, they're on themes, so you can hear the specific tracks I talked about on themes if you want to put a hold on that. And, of course, the Chariots of Fire theme is on that record, too.
That's pretty.
You've been listening to Nashville Public Library's Pop-Matic podcast. For more information, please visit www.library.nashville.org.
That's on the interwebs.